this is not a message to make you feel condemned. Or, oh my gosh, I can't sit through and listen. This is a message of freedom. Jesus wants you free today. We took communion, the new covenant, God's blood is more than enough. And you have a great team of people here that you can go and get help, and they'll be waiting to walk alongside you, because it is a giant, and it can debilitate us, and it can stop us going into the land, can I say. It brings a lot of shame and a lot of pain. It will destroy your life if you don't deal with it. Men and women. I'm not just calling it a men's issue, because I know a lot of women. And can I say, I've walked through with a 64-year-old grandma who was struggling with porn. So, you know, I've heard it all. I've been there. So God wants to set you free. So I'm just going to leave that there as I continue to talk. Let's go on to the next slide. But just to give you a bit of an overview of why pornography is such a big giant and why I took it on. So for 25 years, I've been working with a lot of abused girls, teenage girls in our city. I do a lot around the issue of domestic violence. And I became aware, just through my own study and reading and a couple of conferences I went to, that pornography is driving. We'll never see an end to domestic violence in this nation unless we deal with porn. It's driving rape, incest, it's driving the human trafficking, the prostitution. Every evil just about comes back to pornography. And so 88% of pornography is actually violence against women. It's now the number one sex educator in our nation. The average age of exposure to porn is usually around the age of 8 to 11. So it's coming to our kids at a younger age. The largest porn site in the world has 42 billion visits in just 1 year. And so it's everywhere. The porn industry, it's a $150 billion industry, so it's a big giant. They've got a lot of money. There's a lot of cashed up, smart people working behind the scenes. I remember being in a conference in Washington, D.C. a few years ago. The man who spoke after me, he talked about the software that the porn industry uses to get in front of our children. It's the same software that the American Army used to track down Osama bin Laden. So they are high level. They want to get porn in front of your children. It's not a matter of if your children will see porn, it's when. Can I say that? You might think you're so spiritual and your kids are so amazing. No, they're going to see it, because porn is predatory. It is hunting down in through every app, through every television show, TikTok, music videos, everywhere. It is out there. And they have friends. Maybe you have safeguarded their phones, but they have friends as well. Unless you have locked your child away in a garage, they are going to see pornography. 1 in 5 mobile searches are for pornography. By the year 2025, so it's always developing, the virtual reality pornography should be around a $100 billion industry. So I actually thought, you know, all the technology that has developed over the years, camcorders and now virtual reality, I always thought, oh, this is great. People are coming up with new inventions to make life easier. Well, the porn industry has driven all of that. The porn industry has driven, and I've read a book on this, driven the development of technology or faster Wi-Fi, because they're cashed up and they have a lot of money and they're out there. Every second in the world, 28,000 users are watching porn. Every second, over $3,000 are spent on porn and the internet. So it's going. Yep, next one, please. Porn teaches, and this is what it's doing to our young people. It's teaching our boys that women exist to be violently and sexually disrespected, and this is why, as long as, you know, we're dealing with it at this. And unfortunately, our government in the last week has just decided, we've been putting in submissions and trying to lobby with the government to at least put on regulations so kids under 18 can't have access to porn. Well, our government has said no, they're not going to do that. They've just come out plain right and said no. So they let all this garbage in at one end, and then we're spending billions of dollars on domestic violence at the other end. Makes no sense. But can I say, because I have a lot of, I hang out in the sex industry, I have a lot of ex-prostitutes who used to work in Canberra. They say during Parliament is the busiest week for prostitution in Canberra. And so this is a bit of our problem, why they're so protective of their pornography. Porn teaches that women are objects to be used and abused, and it normalises sexual violence. Girls, women, so I think it's 1 in 3 visitors to porn sites are women, and girls who watch it are more likely to be sexually abused or harassed because they think it's normal behaviour. The last man who tried to touch my body, he got kicked really hard from me because I haven't watched porn, and I've been taught that my body is valuable, and so any guy who's going to do this, I know this is not normal, and he's going to get a good kick. And so, unfortunately, our girls think, oh, this is normal behaviour. By watching scene after scene of dehumanizing or violent content, we think it's normal. Research indicates that porn consumers, so people who consume porn, are more likely to sexually objectify and dehumanize others, more likely to express an intent to rape, less likely to intervene during sexual assault, more likely to victim blame survivors of sexual assault, more likely to support violence against women, and more likely to commit actual acts of sexual violence. So this is why we have such a huge issue in our nation. I do a lot of work in Fiji. They rate among the top 10 nations in the world for Googling porn. Fiji, little nation, but 2 out of 3 women are raped. So garbage in, garbage out. You can't watch porn and it not affect. So my good friend Melinda Tankard Reese, you may have heard of her or seen her speak. A good friend of mine, she spends her life travelling to schools. Last year she spoke to more than 20,000 school students. And this is what she is hearing from school students in our nation. You know, this is the fruit of an entire generation that has unlimited access to pornography. She hears stories because after she speaks, she stays around. She said girls between the ages of 14 or 15 say that boys are threatening to rape them and their mothers and sisters if they don't send them naked pictures. I went to school to learn maths and English. I think just, when was it? At the beginning of this year, there was a report in at a Brisbane school here in Brisbane where a boy, some boys had chained a girl around her neck and were dragging her across the playground. And we think that's horrific, but these boys think it's normal because this is what they see day in and day out. We were talking last night at dinner. They have lost all empathy. It's just normalized behavior because they are seeing porn every day. Group of year 7 girls were offered cash by male peers to make porn films during school. This is what's going on right here in our schools in Australia. So how do you start a campaign called A City Free from Pornography? I spent 3 years in Bible college and they didn't teach me. I've been to Hillsong Conference and many conferences and there's no elective on how to start a campaign. You just got to start. There's no books, there's nothing. But because I don't know about you, but I get sick and tired of just darkness always winning. It always progressing. And yes, we can have another prayer meeting, but there comes a time where we've just got to do something and have a go. And so I want to encourage you, just do something this week in your context, where you are. Sometimes, and it might seem crazy, but sometimes, as I encouraged the women yesterday, we've just got to give God something to work with. So in 2016, I thought, I'm just going to invite Melinda, because she's one of Australia's premier speakers on porn. And I thought, I'm just going to invite her to our city. I'm going to do a breakfast. We called it the link between porn and domestic violence because that was quite hot in our city at the moment. And I thought, if I can get 20 people in the room to hear Melinda, then at least that's something. Well, that morning, 120 people came, actually. We had our mayor, police, school students, pastors, Chamber of Commerce. It was, and because it's been 20 years of me working in my community, when you need to do these things, you have a bit of credibility to be able to invite and you've got relationships. So it's so important to be out there in our communities. And so they heard Melinda and our mayor, he's just resigned actually after 12 years in our city, Paul Antonio, but the next mayor is brilliant and right on board. But that morning, Paul just said to me, I'm right behind you, Letitia. And it's not really a cool political move to say, I want to be a part of a campaign called A City Free from Porn. But he has courageously stood beside me for the last however many years. And this next clip, so I hope we've got sound ready to go. This is our ex-mayor talking about why he's
taken this on. I'm proud to lead a community that's prepared to speak up against pornography. I'm proud to lead a community who are prepared to say it is not good for young people to be exposed to porn. And we know, sadly, that many young people are in fact exposed to porn and they get a very bad idea of what life's all about. So I'm proud to lead this group of people who are prepared to speak out. We need to make sure that Toowoomba understands very clearly and we set an example to the world, which I'm happy to do. I believe in this cause simply because I've read the evidence that suggests that people become actually addicted to pornography. I've read the evidence to suggest it doesn't make their life any better. In fact, it makes it pretty bad. There's something special about the relationships, I think, and those relationships are best if they're not based on this kind of thought.
So it's great to get our local leaders. So, you know, using the City Free from Porn campaign, I haven't had to quote scripture. Because there's so much good data out there, so much evidence and so many stories, and just thankful for the role that the mayor has played, and our future mayor, our current mayor, will as well. So, you know, we did this community breakfast. The next thing was, well, let's do a combined church service, because churches have been working together across our city. So again, a first in the city, doing a combined church service on pornography. But because we are aware that pornography is in the church as much as it's in the world, and we've got to speak to these, we've got to speak about it, we've got to help people get free. And so it was great to be able to do a combined church service. We've done a couple now, and have just local Christians actually boldly stand up and say, porn has nearly destroyed our lives. And something powerful happens when we begin to share our stories, doesn't it? It gives other people courage, vulnerability. And the sooner we all go, man, I've suffered or experienced it somewhere, the better we'll all be off. You know, let's not live in shame. We're not under that old covenant anymore. We have been set free, and let's get free from our sins. Hey, every year, myself and the mayor, we've done some type of public meeting. So yes, the first year was the breakfast, and then we did a big rally outside town hall. We did several of these for years in a row, where we're just from 7 till 8 in the morning before people went to work, we'd just call the city out to come and hear about the impact of porn, and again hearing local people share their stories. So I think I've got a clip from a few years ago, one of our rallies, and you'll just get to hear some highlights and different stories from that.
The attitude towards porn today is that it is harmless, it's just a bit of fun, and that everyone watches it. That's a problem, since none of these things are actually true.
I felt my marriage end right then, right there. My family dissolved right then, right there.
Today is a choice between a lie and reality.
For teenage boys, their addiction to porn is often accompanied by problems with anxiety, body image, self-esteem issues, relationship problems, insecurity and depression.
A lie that damages our ability to love, steals our fathers from our sons, is spread from phone to TV, distorts our view of beauty, doesn't disappear with internet history, but remains up here and continues to be a lie and not reality.
It is time that this issue was brought out into the light.
Today I'm here to tell you my story, a story that's all too common and can happen to anyone.
Shut the screen down and begin to live. Open up your eyes and see what you've missed.
My husband's behaviour started to change, and something triggered in my brain thinking, oh no, he's watching pornography.
Beauty is not found in faces online. Beauty is found in the faces by our side.
I found files and files full of child pornography.
Love is not airbrushed fantasy or fake. Love is messy and a sacrifice that we make.
Any form of pornography is not just looking. You're contributing to an industry of abuse.
And while this love may be threatened by a lie can only live as long as light does not shine.
We're not just standing against something here today, we're actually standing for something as well. We're standing for beautiful relationships. We're standing for intimacy.
Because we desire a city that chooses what is real and doesn't hide its shame away but knows it needs to heal.
Together, I believe we can pave the way for a brighter future by supporting each other and bringing issues like pornography out into the light and standing as a unified community.
We'll be able to thrive if we do truly have a city free from porn.
A city where love is restored and sets people free, and where all of us decide to choose reality.
You know, we've got to have a better vision for our city, don't we? And I remember when we first started, and I had a little committee of guys with me, and I said, let's call it a city free from porn. And they all said, that's stupid, Letitia. It's a dumb name. We'll never achieve it. And I said, well, are we going to call it a 47% city free from porn? I said, the kingdom of God coming to my city, coming to Toowoomba, looks like a city free from porn. There is no porn in heaven, and so why should there be porn on earth? And yes, it might seem impossible, and I can't ban the World Wide Web, but we need to proclaim something better. And I tell you, this name has created a lot of media from around the world, and after we do these do these rallies. Yep, I remember after that particular rally, our first one, I was doing interviews from Canada to New Zealand to Sweden. Channel 10 were actually promoting that we'd banned porn, which was lovely. False news, but it was working in our favour. this other news outlet, Toowoomba City to become porn-free. Here's how. I was very excited to hear how we were doing it, because I had just started and I had no idea where we were going. I was just giving God something to work with, and he kept moving and going before us. And I remember after this rally and thinking, oh my goodness, what have we done? I just made this big scene. I was getting all this backlash online, people making fun of us, setting up other Facebook groups. And I'd actually had, luckily I'm good friends with the police, so I was getting death threats and passing them. But I was going, oh God, what have we done? And I was one day particularly feeling discouraged. But then I got an email from a woman from Paris saying, Letitia, we have seen on the internet what you're doing in your city. Can I please talk to you? And I gave her my phone number. She didn't quite get the time difference right, and she kept calling in the middle of the night. Eventually, she worked it out, and she called me one Saturday afternoon, and she said, Letitia, I'm calling on behalf of the president of France. She said, we've seen what you're doing, and the president hates how pornography is destroying our nation. Will you come over and help us? I just went, yes. I had no idea. I thought I'll work it out on the plane or come up with something. I just said yes. And she said, well, elections are next month, so I'll be in touch with you after elections. Unfortunately, that president didn't get re-elected and I never got to go. However, I felt like God say to me, and it was just this encouragement that came at the time. He said, you want a city free from porn? I want nations free. I want to set nations free. Your vision is too small. And so it was a huge encouragement. And as I said yesterday to the women, my work in Fiji has now enabled, I'm currently working with the Minister for Women and Children in Fiji on how to ban porn over there, because she's actually in Parliament. So God has a way of getting around there. But it's a fun journey when you just step out. Just step out. God said, go into all the world and I will be with you. You don't have to sit around waiting for 17 angels to appear and a word from God and a strategy. Just go and he will be with you and he will show up. He will show up, or you'll fail and you'll be humbled, and that's pretty good too. You'll learn something. We'd started, and I remember, a few months after this rally, I had the SBS. They were contacting me from Melbourne and they wanted to do a documentary on us. Luckily, I was overseas at that point, because I know the SBS weren't going to shine a favourable light on us. Part of what they were doing was walking around the streets saying, have you heard of Letitia Shelton and this city free from porn? And you know how they always get the weird people on the streets? And so they're making us look stupid. But luckily, I was out of town and I left one of my co-workers to deal with them. But then they went and knocked on our brothel door. And again, I told the story to the women yesterday about how we're best friends with our brothel manager, because we go in there regularly to make friends with and support the sex workers. So Nola answered the door and said, I love Letitia Shelton and I love the work that she's doing against pornography, because pornography is destroying our society and we refuse to show it here in the brothel because it makes the men a lot more violent. Now, SBS didn't record Nola for some reason. That didn't make the cut. So I sent around a camera to Nola, and this is Nola. We put this up on Facebook ourselves and it went crazy.
Porn kills love and it kills people. It kills their lives. They become addicted to it to the point where they can't function as a member of society. It's very common that most brothels throughout Australia have it showing in the foyer. They have it live streamed to the rooms with or without your consent. So it is quite common, I believe. By participating in that and showing that, you're becoming part of the problem and not part of the solution. So I chose not to, simply because it actually would change the way that the clients would treat the ladies. And opposed to seeing them as a human being, they would see them as an object and something that they could then act out.
So it pays to be friends with your brothel manager. You know, when you're taking the land, you find whoever will work with you. And God uses non-Christians, can I say? Can I say that? In fact, I find in my city, the most passionate people about our city are quite often the non-Christians. They want to see good happen more than we do, more than the church does. And God uses them. Where are we up to next? So part of the strategy, and I've just been working it out as we go, we do events, we do billboards, we put these up right in the centre of town. I just crowdfund them. Put them up there, send people to our website, which gets a lot of hits. And on our website, you'll see our mayor, you'll see people sharing their personal stories, you'll see NOLA. There's places where people can go and get help, different groups, different resources. So just putting stuff out there to make people think. It always, again, creates a lot of conversation. It creates conversation in workplaces. I make all the Christians uncomfortable because they hear their workmates boo-hooing us. I'm like, please speak up and defend me. It's really important. Radio ads. This is, we'll just play this radio ad that we've had running in our city as well.
You could say a lot of things about pornography. You could say it's just a bit of harmless fun. You could say it's not hurting anyone. You could tell yourself it's no one's business what you watch. And you could argue no one else gets hurt. You could say a lot of things about pornography, but you can't say you'd want your daughter in it. And that says it all. If you're watching porn, you are watching someone's daughter. To get the facts about the harms of pornography, go to www.cityfree.org.au.
Just challenging messages to put out there, get people thinking, hey, putting things out in the airwaves is important. Stories, we've used a lot of people's stories, and I'm so thankful for people in my city who have come forward and said, I have a story. And this is Beck, a good friend of mine, and she messaged me a couple of years ago and said, Letitia, can we have coffee? And I thought, of course, I love coffee. And I'd seen Beck around at different church events because, we'd have a lot of combined services. She didn't go to the same church as me, but I'd see her around, and so I knew she was a Christian. And we caught up, and she said, Letitia, I need to tell you, I used to be a porn star. I was shocked. I've only ever seen her at church. She grew up, and she was sexually abused as a young girl. And she said, all I've ever wanted to be was a nurse. And she did graduate from school, went to university, and started working in our hospital as a nurse. One day a man stopped her in the corridor of our hospital and said, you're a pretty young woman. Would you like to come and do some modelling? And she said, sure, I'd love to earn some extra money on the side modelling. Well, before, this is the short of a long story, before she knew it, they were writing things into the script and you're having to take off clothes. And then she found herself in Amsterdam, LA, as a full-on porn star. They always target the vulnerable. Can I say that? The porn industry, the sex industry, they target the vulnerable women. And she said, Letitia, in order to do those porn shoots, I actually had to start taking drugs because nobody in their right mind can do what they're asking you to do. So I started on a full-on drug addiction. And then she had to start stealing to buy the drugs. And then she got caught one day and was arrested and can never go back to nursing because she has a criminal record. Then she spent 5 years of her life in rehab trying to get her life back together. And so she says, because quite often I'll have people in our city say, well, me and my partner, we watch porn and it's so empowering. It's not hurting us. I'm not raping anyone. It just empowers us and helps us. I'm like, well, let me just tell you about my friend Beck, because there are actually people on the other side, men and women in this industry, and it's destroying their life. It might have been empowering for you, but it's not empowering for them. So don't, I don't buy that lie for 1 minute. But her story has been powerful across our city. A couple of years ago during COVID, I just thought we have got to get to parents. Even though we do a lot of seminars in schools as well, we've got to get to parents because parents are quite often, and grandparents, and I wanted to put a resource into their hand. This is a great resource and they're out on the table today. Please, if you're a parent, a grandparent, a youth leader, this helps equip you to have those conversations about pornography because most of us just aren't up to date. You're not like me, researching and in conferences and talking to sex workers. Good, which is good. But there's resources. There's no reason why we can't be equipped to have these conversations, especially with young people. And in fact, this day and age, you can't afford not to, as I said. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And so I just picked this up at a conference overseas a few years ago. It's a great simple book, How to Talk to Your Kids About Pornography, starting at an early age to even into their teenage years. What to do if your kids are already addicted to porn, how to respond, how to create a family that can talk about these. And I just remember saying to my team, I want to get this into as many homes in my city as possible. My poor team, they're always like, oh, Letitia, another crazy idea. Anyway, I thought, I love to cycle. I'm a cyclist, so I thought, what can I do? And let's go to the next slide. I Googled biggest, longest bike rides in Australia. And I thought, I'll just join up to a bike ride. And there was a company doing a bike ride from Darwin to Broome, 2,500 k's over 3 weeks. And so I started training. 8 months I trained for my poor bottom. and we rode, and I just joined up with this whole non-Christian team, and they were like, by the end of it, they all knew about the dangers of porn, and they actually gave to me. But unfortunately, unlike your church, you can't get funding for porn campaigns. Even though you can bring the link between, you know, breakdown of family and mental health and all of those things, no one wants to put fund. You know, we've tried several times to put in funding for porn campaigns, but we can't. We always fail. So I had to ride my bike, but don't feel sorry for me because I loved it. Here's a little clip that I did to help gather our city behind this.
Would you help us porn-proof the kids of Toowoomba by donating today? Your donation will help us get more books into Toowoomba homes and into the hands of parents. Our goal is $95,000 and getting 14,000 books into homes.
To all the parents out there, I encourage you to have this conversation with your family, with your children, about porn and the negative effects that that has on not only them personally, but our society. Jump online, cityfree.org.au, get behind Letitia, and jump on cityfree.org.au and support the ride.
Your donation will help us get more books into Toowoomba homes and into the hands of parents, equipping them to have these all-important conversations to help their children navigate the porn culture they are growing up in.
So we ran it through Facebook. I went, next one, thanks. I went, rode through Kakadu, it was hot, middle of winter, it's still hot, a lot of anthills, a lot of fun. Made it to Broome, had enough strength to lift up my bike, and ended up raising $120,000, and we delivered. Again, we delivered 20,000 of these into homes on the doorsteps, and I did it again. I think I had over 60 volunteers, most women, and these were prayer warriors who not just delivered, but they prayed over each street, over each home. And I know they made it into homes because I had people stopping me in the shopping centres and saying, thank you. I had people sending me hate mail saying, what the heck are you doing? We gave a cover letter, who are we? Why are we doing this? And so just a huge effort from a little group of people just having a go. You know, quite often I hear Christians say, oh, we don't have funding for that. You know, maybe you don't have a cool funding person like this church does. Just do something. I ride your bike. We've jumped out of planes. We've shaved our hair. We've done whatever it takes, because most of what we do, we don't get funding for this stuff. But just do what it takes. Give God something to work with. Let's skip this clip, and I'm going to end with a scripture verse. Just skip this one if you can. Yeah. And we sang about giants this morning. And again, we know this one well. We know the story of David and Goliath, but I just want to leave you with it. Because Goliath, he came out to the Israelites. He stood and he shouted a taunt across the Israelites. Why are you all coming out to fight? He called. I am a Philistine champion, but you are only the servants of Saul. Can I always say the enemy intimidates? He speaks to us. And that's why a lot of us don't move, because of fear, because we hear these voices. Or, who am I to do this? Oh, I've struggled with this issue. I can't do this. It's a lie. Don't listen to him. Goliath said, choose one man to come down here and fight me. If he kills me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken, because we listen to the enemy. And then, you know, further on down, we know David came along, and he came out, and Goliath said, am I a dog, he roared at David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of other gods. Come over here, and I will give your flesh to the birds and wild animals, Goliath yelled. But David didn't listen. I love this. He didn't listen to the taunts of the enemy. This is what David replied. We've got to speak back to the enemy. He said, you come at me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. This is who we're going out with. Tomorrow, you go into your workplace, you go into darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most powerful name. We are living like we're following some little trinket. This is the God of all the universe who wants to show himself great through you. Maybe it won't be a campaign around a city free from porn, but maybe it might be a meal to a neighbor. Maybe it might be a gift to that person who hates you in the workplace. Maybe it might be, I don't know what it is, but do something. For the sake of the name of Jesus, do something. He says, today the Lord will conquer you and I will kill you and I will cut off your head. And then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. You know, does your city know there is a God? I don't know. I don't know if my city does either. But man, we've got to live in a way that God will be glorified. And yes, for some of us, that might mean we look really down and out. Yes, the disciples, they were killed. They ended up being martyred. But they turned the world upside down. May God put in us, I guess my heart is this morning, a fresh courage in your hearts. We are in a battle. This is not a peacetime time. This is not a time to live comfortably and securely. Your church is looking at taking more land. They're wanting to impact the community more. You need to be impacting where you are, your children, your grandchildren, whatever it is. Let's not sit quietly and let's pay the price and risk our lives if that's what it means to do. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you that you don't leave us powerless. And Lord, forgive us when we live in our own power. Forgive us when we live in fear. Forgive us when we shrink back, when we have been silent because we have been afraid. Lord, I pray that you would put fresh courage. I love these courageous men's shirts. Lord, I pray that, Lord, your spirit will come upon those men again. But Lord, upon women, upon children. Lord, you used everyone in the Bible. Lord, you used the Christians. You used prostitutes. You used a donkey. Yeah. And so, Father, here we are. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would speak to each person here. Show them the way forward, how to take the land. Lord, how not to sit quietly. And so, God, we worship an all-powerful and almighty God, and we say we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you so much, Letitia. We really appreciate, why don't you stand to your feet, please, church? We really appreciate you stirring our hearts today. And we really do. We really do. You know, there is so much of what we do outside of the walls of this place. And God never intended for his church to have walls. He intended for it to have pathways out into the village, out into the community. And, you know, all the things we do are wonderful. You know, our prayer is wonderful. Our worship is wonderful. Everything we do is wonderful for us. But it's not just about us. It's not just for us. It's through us. And it's through us to find pathways into the spaces of life that we have to speak into real life issues, life-controlling issues for our community. And not just for the sake of the generation that's now running the place and doing things, but for the young ones, for the vulnerable ones, for the at-risk ones. And we want to be part of that. We want to find our voice in our city for our deal and for our thing. And, you know, worship, when we come and we gather, it was always intended to bring strength to us so that we understand where our empowerment comes from. And so these moments of gathering, in this moment we're going to have right now, we're going to sing that old song, I Love You, Lord. You know what it's for? It's to empower. Worship empowers warriors. That's what worship does. David, who Letitia referenced, I love David. I love his language. I'm going to cut your head off. It was a threat that David made back to the one that threatened. I'm going to cut your head off. And he did. He cut Goliath's head off. He held it up high and he marched it into Israel so that all of Israel would know our God wins. Our God wins. And the thing about David was, not only was he a warrior, he was a worshiper, because he understood that worship empowered him. And it gave so much strength and resilience. And Letitia, we love your bravery. We love your resilience. We love the fact that you're bringing significant change to your community, more so than you can even imagine. And we love the opportunity just to connect with you and to open our world to your voice and to what God's doing there. Come on, church, let's lift our hands and let's just have a warrior worshiping, empowering. Addressing today, because I know that, you know, it's no different in the village, the community, than it is in the church. And I know that there would be people, young and old, that are struggling today and have been exposed to porn or have it even as a life-controlling issue. And I just want to say to you today exactly what Letitia said. I want to repeat it to you today. I want to say that the heart of God is simply that you be set free and that you live in freedom. The Bible says it was for freedom that Christ gave his life. And he wants us to be nothing more than free, to be set free. And often it's our own mind, it's our own shame, it's our own guilt that holds us prisoner to something that we want to be released from. And I just want to say to you today, be free. Just be free. And just let light shine on it. Because when light shines on it, it sets you free and it helps keep you free. And so be loved today by God. Don't feel like you've got to hide if you have a struggle in that area or it's around your world in some way. Just live in the freedom of what Jesus Christ has done for you. In a sense, I would love for the church to be that no shame, that no blame, that no guilt zone. I really would, because I think that's the relationship that God very much wants from us. So let's just talk about it. Is that okay? Let's just talk about it. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for what you've done in this house this morning, in the hearts of people, both in the room and online. You've helped people today. You've helped people as something has been talked about that people have struggled with, Father. You've helped us today, and we thank you, Father. And we pray that you'd help us to understand that all of our worship, all of our prayer, all of our giving, all of that is to move us to do something, Father, more within our city and within in the space of life that you have placed us in, Father. I pray for every person today to be living in freedom. I pray that for everyone today, but particularly those that feel like they struggle, particularly those that feel like there's a shroud of shame, there's a shroud of guilt around them, Father, and the lie of the enemy that says you're the only one. And Father, we just want to set people free today, and we know that's your mission, and Holy Spirit, we just pray, come and do that today in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. Church, why don't you say a big thank you by giving the teacher a round of applause today. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. Hospitality's open right now. Cafe's open for coffee. There's some resources out there. Why don't you avail yourself of that? Spend some time fellowshipping and just connecting with your friends today. Thank you for being with us online. If you're part of our online community, God bless you and have an amazing week. Thank you, thank you. Thank you.